This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. You're tuned into the Kenai Conversation. I'm your host, Sabine Pooks. Election Day in the Kenai Peninsula Borough is coming up on October 5th. There are two spots open on the Kenai City Council, three seats open on the Soldotna City Council, and three seats open on the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. We're interviewing the candidates for those elections throughout the month of September, ahead of the election. The first 2 weeks, we spoke with the five candidates for the Kenai City Council, and this week and next week, we're focusing on Soldotna. Today in the studio, we're joined by Jordan Chilson. He's currently on the council and is running for seat C. Hi, Jordan.
Hello.
Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here. It's my first time on radio, and I'm looking forward to see how this goes.
We're honored to have you here for your first time on the radio. And Micah Shields is also running for seat C. He wasn't able to be here today, but you can read about him and his platform at soldotna.org. Later in the hour, we're talking to Linda Farnsworth Hutchings. She's running unopposed for seat A, and we're also going to replay our conversation with Sammy Crawford from the Central Peninsula League of Women Voters. We talked to her about why it's so important to vote in local elections and what it was like when she voted for the very first time. So, Jordan, first, it would be great if you could introduce yourself and say why you're running for Soldotna City Council this time around.
Okay, absolutely. So my name is Jordan Chilson. I am a lifelong Alaskan. I was born here right in Soldotna and raised locally. I've worked a number of jobs here in the area over the years, from Fish and Game years ago to the Kenai Peninsula College to working as a network engineer and programmer for the Kenai School District IT department, where I've been for the last 10 years or so. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I think we live in one of the most beautiful areas here on Earth. My wife and I were usually out hiking in the mountains or biking on the trail, skiing at Silteshi. There's just so much here that the area has to offer that I think a lot of us take for granted. And I think having those opportunities combined with the people that live here is truly a special thing. And I've made a point over the years to get involved with a number of different service organizations like Peninsula Community Health Services, the Kenai Food Bank, Silteshi, CPGH, essentially as a way to give back to the community, because I've gotten incredible value from living here, and I feel like there's kind of a debt there, and I'm just happy to do my part to try to make that up, I guess I could say. And then from there, I've just always kind of had an interest in local government. It's kind of interesting because you see so many people that tend to get caught up in national politics, and local government just really tends to fly under the radar and has such an ability to impact our lives. And it's just this fascinating thing. And just not a lot of people really seem to put interest into it. But to me, it's fascinating. I actually went and got my master's degree in public administration, not because I was planning on working in the government. It's probably not going to happen anytime in the foreseeable future, but just because it's interesting. I want to get involved in the process. So from there, I somehow found myself springboarded over to working on city council. And I guess for those out there that want to know kind of where I am as a councilman, to kind of keep the simple, I could say it's it really is simple. My top two legislative priorities would be number one, our green spaces and trails, and number two, our small businesses. And of course, everything I do in relation to those, I do it through the lens or the perspective of the people that live here, because you know, it's the people here that call this home that make it a really special place, and we get such a quality of life from keeping that in perspective as we move forward on these issues. As for why I'm running for council again, it's simply because I don't feel like I'm done. You know, I look back on the last 3 years I've been on council. I'm just wrapping up my first term, and looking at that, I'm really proud of all that I've been able to be involved with and what we've been able to do for the community. It's been a very, very eventful 3 years, as everyone knows. And you know, I think despite that, we have some pretty amazing accomplishments that we've done at the city, and I still have my hands in a number of projects that we're working on that I'm really excited to see through to the end. And you know, if I'm given the opportunity to continue forward to city council for another 3 years, it's my mission to make those happen if I can. So thank you.
Yeah, you mentioned how local government is so important, and I think a time when that was really on display, probably for people who maybe don't think about local government all the time, was with the COVID relief funds that yep. that we've been receiving and doling out. And this time around, Soldotna is eligible for a little over $1 million in funds from the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA.
Yep.
Do you have thoughts of where you'd like to see those go, or is there anything you kind of learned from the last time around with the CARES funds that it would inform where you'd like to see money be spent this time?
Sure. So right now we're still in kind of the preliminary planning phases for what we're going to do with that $1.1 million in American Rescue Plan Act funding. But I think if reflecting back on where we went with the first kind of round of CARES money that came through the city, my number one takeaway with that are that partnerships with the community and our key stakeholders are absolutely essential. If you look back at how that process went forward, we originally got quite a few million dollars of aid, and through partnerships, we were able to distribute about $5.9 million of that in direct aid to residents, businesses, and nonprofits. And the way that we made that work is we had a number of different working group meetings where we got those key stakeholders in the community and really kind of got the boots on the ground and the feedback that we needed to figure out, okay, we have money, we don't want to waste it, we want to make that impact count in our community. So let's collaborate and come up with a plan to launch some programs that really make that bucket of money go further. And through that, we got a lot of really amazing programs off the ground. So, I mean, just to name some of the ones I'm really proud of, there's the Shop Local program where we had the spend $200, get an additional $100 voucher installed out. And because of that, we were able to get almost an additional $1 million in spending in the Soldotna area. We also modified our storefront improvement grant program to allow for virtual storefront improvement, helping businesses launch websites and be able to utilize e-commerce to get going. I'm proud to say that I was able to modify that program through a resolution I passed to increase the funding available for that. We also partnered with the food bank, giving them funding to purchase bulk food and distribute those out in bags through distribution points in the city. I know there were over 7,000 food bags and boxes that were distributed through Soldotna in partnership with our city and the food bank. Mental health care is a critical thing in the last 2 years or so. We've partnered with PCHS to help broaden access to that through telehealth and cab tokens for those that need it. And then housing assistance. The state of Alaska had that program through, I think it was AHFC, where they helped pay for housing, and then that weaned off, and then Soldotna stepped up and took our money and kept it going for those in Soldotna. So I think replicating that model moving forward with the ARPA funding and that $1.1 million that's yet to be appropriated, I think is going to be key. And just, again, leveraging the stakeholders that we have in the community.
Speaking of kind of some of the resolutions you've seen through and, you know, what you've seen so far in your time on the council, what is something that you're really proud of from your time serving so far?
That's an excellent question. You know, I think the thing I am most proud of is, you know, you look down at Soldotna Creek Park. That I would say is one of the it's kind of like the crown jewel of our city. It's amazing what we have down there with the Wednesday Market, the music series. Our Soldotna Chamber of Commerce has just been an amazing partner in facilitating that and helping that grow and thrive. And that in itself has kind of spiraled forward and helped just been a boon to the business community in Soldotna. The Levitt Amp music grant that we've had there, bringing forward the music series and just really kicking that into high gear, has just been incredible for the community. You know, you look back years ago and, you know, we'd have a couple hundred people in attendance, and now we're popping almost 2,000 people in some of these weekly events. We just, frankly, one of our biggest issues with it now is just space to fit them in the park and get them parking. But it's been incredible just seeing the community come together for those. I mean, that has been amazing. As I mentioned earlier with the CARES funding, I'm so proud of our city staff and administration. They have worked so hard in partnership with those local community partners to get that $5.9 million in aid out to the community and those that really need it, and they did it quickly. And we're starting that up again with this additional $1.1 million in ARPA. And then the other thing I'd say is I've been a strong proponent of giving Soldotna a seat at the table and making our voice known on broader issues beyond Soldotna that have an impact on them. You know, we've had a number of resolutions that I've supported that have supported our oil industry here on the peninsula, our fisheries, and a number of other different issues. And again, I'm excited to see that moving forward.
Yeah. On the other side of that coin, are there any decisions that you've had to make on the council that have made you really conflicted?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is certainly annexation. I mean, that's definitely been kind of the elephant in the room with Soldotna politics the last couple of years. And we were just in the throes of getting this all together to submit to the local boundary commission with our first petition right after I got elected onto council for the first term. And it's just been an incredibly difficult process, and there's no perfect solution for it. It's been really difficult to see the strain that it has put on our community. And I think that it's one of those things where we need to be able to hear people out. And, you know, there's valuable information and experiences on each side of the line that need to be formulated into that discussion. And it's just been difficult working through that process. I'm optimistic that we're on a path forward with that. But I think it's important that as that process moves, that we keep everyone in mind. It's not just about the city of Soldotna, and it's not just about the people outside of the city that we're looking at. It's about the broader community and the state as a whole. And I think that, you know, we need to make sure that all people's voices are being heard on that, and that we're developing a plan to implement that in a way that, you know, honors people's lifestyles. And, you know, we don't want to come in there and basically disrupt the life that people have outside of the city. We want to try to meet people in the middle and find a plan that is a reasonable compromise, I think. And, you know, one of the most contentious meetings I've been to is shortly after I was on council, and we were voting on whether or not to finalize our petition and submit it to the local boundary commission for consideration on the areas that we were looking at annexing. And I was actually a supporter on that council during that meeting of reducing the area at which we were looking at annexing to be more amendable to those that have made their voice heard that they don't want to be annexed. So originally that petition was looking at almost 4 square miles of potential space. And with my support and the support of a couple other council members that were okay with reducing that, we heard people's voices that, you know, most of the people that were opposed to annexation are those that live in residential neighborhoods that didn't want to be annexed. And, you know, we heard them, and we eliminated the vast majority of residential districts that, you know, made it clear they don't want to be part of the city, and that's fine. We respect that. So as part of that path forward and seeking a compromise, we reduced that area significantly.
Yeah, so the council, of course, isn't really making any decisions on that in the near future, because now it's kind of out of this council's hands for at least a bit. But, correct, you know, what are your thoughts on kind of what you'd like to see happen going forward? And what have you learned from the folks you've spoken with about this recently?
Correct. So kind of where we are right now is that petition was submitted to the local boundary commission, and they went through the full hearing and have reviewed it. And just to kind of back up and kind of provide a little bit of framework here on how that process works. So our state in the drafting of its constitution, the framers actually specifically had the foresight to consider, you know, boundaries aren't going to be perpetual forever. I mean, there's going to be need for those to change. And, you know, it might not always be a fun issue to address, and there's going to be controversy. So that's why they established through Article 10, Section 12 of our state constitution, the Local Boundary Commission. And really what that body is tasked with is they take the arguments and the data from both sides, and they really serve as a neutral third party and determine what's best for the whole area. Because when you make the decision from the perspective of one side only, you really don't allow a full consideration of how that can impact the broader community. So this was submitted to the local boundary commission. They're supposed to serve as that third party agency that really has no hand in local politics or local biases in that. And really, as long as it meets the criteria for being beneficial for the area as a whole, they are supposed to afford that to the legislature for review. And that's how that's operated for really the last half century that they've been in existence. And it was really interesting because when they were considered that, they actually even in their hearing confirmed that it met all of that criteria. And under the operating framework that they've run under for, like I said, the last half century or so, that should have been advanced. But it was an interesting situation where we have a four commissioner body, three of them are new and really didn't have that background, and they flipped that around for a local vote. And I think their intentions were good, and I appreciate that. There's a lot of interesting things that presents with problems for other municipalities moving forward, and it's completely contrary to the way the local boundary commission has ever operated in the state, and it's questionably legal at best. So right now that's kind of tied up in the courts, and we'll see what comes of that over the next year or two. But I don't really see this being an issue for Soldotna for the immediate future. It's going to be a while before we see movement on this.
Speaking of things that are kind of hot button issues here in the city, we can talk about the dispatch services situation.
Sure.
So the borough is proposing that Soldotna pay more for its services, and the city believes that it, you know, that would be more than its fair share. What are your thoughts on that and the, you know, the proposal that Soldotna split some of those costs with the city of Kenai?
Sure. So, yeah, as you mentioned right now, the Kenai Peninsula Borough is currently providing dispatch services for not only the city of Soldotna, but state parks, state troopers, I believe the Wildlife Refuge as well. They're a multi-agency dispatch center, and they've been an excellent partner for the city of Soldotna. And I don't have anything negative to speak about what they've done for our city. They provide excellent service. And what the borough is trying to do with restructuring that center in a fee-for-service model, it's not bad in theory. I think it's worth exploring. The issue is just the way in which they're doing that and the lack of collaboration with the cities on how that fee structure should be built. I mean, essentially, we were operating under a system where we were paying them $150,000 a year, and then with very little to no feedback from us or the other cities, they turn around and say, okay, here's the new model on how this is going to work, and by the way, your fee is now $500,000 a year, and we're looking at $500,000 bill moving forward with no input from us. And that's been a tough one to follow. Especially when you try to work through the metrics that they're coming up with on how that fee structure should be done, and they'll tell you, okay, we're going to break that down on per number of calls per agency, which on paper sounds good until you dig into the numbers and find that that number might make sense if you're dividing out on the total number of calls, but the average call to that dispatch center might be an hour and a half, but the average call from the Soldotna Police Department is only 30 minutes. There's a lot to consider when you're trying to figure out how that should be divvied. So we landed on a $350,000 annual contract for this year, and we're going to continue to negotiations with the borough. And I don't want to necessarily just give up and walk. I am optimistic we can come to an agreement, because I think at the end of the day, if we can make a partnership with the borough and continue that OEM dispatch center collaboration, I think that's in the best interest of all the agencies. Depending on where that goes, though, we're also exploring alternatives with the city of Kenai and combining dispatch services with them. When I first ran for the city council, one of the things I was strongly advocating for is more interagency resource sharing between the cities. You know, there's a lot of things that Kenai and Soldotna both have responsibility for, and they do well, but, you know, in theory, you can combine those down and kind of let both cities benefit from sharing resources. And a great example of that is our animal control facilities. The Kenai Animal Control and Soldotna Animal Control now partner on resources on that. And both cities, I think, have been able to win on that.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there's any areas you'd like to see cities or the city and the borough partner on that we kind of aren't already looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been fantastic to see that we have an excellent working relationship between the city of Soldotna and the city of Kenai. Paul Elstrander is an amazing city manager, Stephanie Queen as well, and it's been great to see that working relationship excel. And because of that, we've seen a number of different issues being able to be addressed in a collaborative manner, like animal control and potentially now dispatch. I would like to see more equipment sharing between the cities. If you think about it, both cities might, for example, own some big piece of machinery for filling potholes, but they might not necessarily have their road crew out filling potholes every single day. So why do both cities need to have this really expensive machine that fills potholes? Why don't they just buy that together and share it? I mean, things like that. I think those are worth exploring, and I think we're on the path in that direction.
Absolutely. Switching gears a bit, I'd like to talk a little bit about COVID. Masking has been a bit controversial for the city throughout the pandemic, and now Soldotna is requiring masks in city buildings. What do you see as the city's role in the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, our role in the pandemic, I think, is just providing mainly aid where we can. Like I said, we've put a lot of money out in the community. We have a lot more money that we're going to be working with getting out there. So there's the direct aid role, which I think that we are, frankly, excelling at. I'm very proud of that. But then there's also the communication and getting information out there. I mean, one of the most frustrating things I think anyone in this day has seen in this day and age is just the lack of information, if not outright, mis or disinformation. So I think it's not necessarily the government's role to mandate every aspect of our lives, but I think, where we can, if we can get information out there and help get people aware and just, help foster just a sense of compassion in the community, it's just been, it's been so frustrating to see the divisions that we've had in our community as a result of this. And people get so caught up in what is legal as far as their rights go versus what is just, I'd say, moral. I mean, it's tough when you have people arguing, you know, it's my right not to wear a mask. And, you know, just because something may be a right does not necessarily make it right. I personally sponsored a mask mandate with one of our former council members last year, and that crashed, and we got very divided support on that in the city. It was really encouraging because we had the entire leadership team at our local hospital came out in support of that mandate, and we had so many medical professionals in our community come out in support of that, and a lot of just general community members as well. But it was, you know, a lot of frustration against that as well. So it was really disappointing to see that fail, and I think, you know, people made their voices on that known, and we listened. The latest mask mandate that we've done in Soldotna, we realized that there's no interest in the public in a citywide mandate, and I understand and respect that. That's their choice. So we are limiting that to our city facilities only at that time, and I think that's a reasonable compromise.
Speaking of choice and hearing people's voices, how do you like to keep in touch with constituents? How do you communicate with people of Soldotna and kind of get a sense of what people are thinking about and wanting to see from you?
Sure. So I do a lot of firsthand networking through people that I know in the community, just speaking to people in the grocery stores, people reaching out to me through social media, although that's not my favorite method of communication, but it is one. I do a lot of direct emails with people. One of the things I really, really miss from the pre-COVID era that seems like forever ago is I was trying to get a weekly or once a month thing going, just to get together with a couple council members and do coffee and just talk with the community to make ourselves available. We saw this in Kenai too as well pre-COVID. I think they called it like council coffee time, and they would just get together and just make themselves available at the visitor center periodically. And I love that. And like, I would love to see that in our community. Unfortunately, those things are really difficult to get off the ground on Zoom. I know how much people love Zoom in the last year or two.
Yeah, everyone has a bit of the Zoom fatigue.
Yeah.
You mentioned in your kind of platform statement that you'd like to see the city pursue, you know, reasonable spending policies. Do you have any specific thoughts on what the city could do to pare down its budget, or maybe where you'd like to see more funding?
Sure. I think, the city of Soldotna is doing very well financially right now. And I think that's because we've had the foresight to restrain ourselves on not spending on frivolous purchases. You know, when we spend, we make sure it's genuinely needed. And our staff are great about finding ways to cut costs. They're our parks department. You talk to them, they get really creative on all the things that they build in-house just to save money. And, you know, everything that the city does, they do typically with the frame of, you know, spending our taxpayer money responsibly. And I'm really proud that they've been able to spend responsibly and save responsibly. And we have a good savings account because of that. And I think that's given us a good safety blanket going through the pandemic. I'm also a proponent of keeping our property taxes low. I am proud to say that the city of Soldotna has one of the lowest combined property tax rates on the peninsula. I think the lowest among all the incorporated municipalities, for sure. I mean, if you look just between us and Kenai, there's a notable difference there. And the moment you leave the city of Soldotna and go right outside to Kay Beach, your mill rates go up almost a full mill rate. We've been able to do that by leveraging sales tax and kind of shifting some of that burden to tourists coming through the community, which keeps our costs low for our residents. And I've been really happy with that setup.
What do you think the city could do to increase economic opportunities for its residents?
So that's an excellent question. And again, I'm going to circle back to the park because that's one of my favorite things to talk about in the city of Soldotna. We've made that kind of, like I said, I love to say it's kind of like the crown jewel of the city of Soldotna. And it's just kind of a spark for economic activity and small businesses. And it just draws people into the community. So kind of on that note, one of the things our city is exploring is a planning partnership with the Economic Development Administration, where we are going to hopefully be using some grant money that's available through them to do some planning on how we can develop basically our entire riverfront district between the Soldotna Creek Park and the bridge as a means to increase walkability and provide more business space. And really kind of the way that I would see this unfolding if we can make this work, is it would be amazing if we can, as a result of that, have some pathing between the Soldotna Creek Park and the bridge, where you have an entire walkable district, some more green space in there, some waterfront businesses where we can stand up small little shops that are really fun for tourists. And like, that would be the destination for Soldotna, where we're no longer, okay, you just drive through Soldotna on your way to home. No, let's go to Soldotna and this beautiful little riverfront town where you can walk along the river and check out all these cool shops and maybe stop and check out this awesome concert in the park at the end of the day. I think there's so much untapped potential there to just give a boom to our small business community and just make a beautiful little area in our community.
It sounds like you see the parks and the Parks and Rec kind of spending that the city does as a means to increase kind of the economic opportunity for the city, right? Like you're saying, even if the parks aren't directly making the city money, it sounds like you believe correct. That they can bring people in and
it's a catalyst. I mean, yeah. it's just dumping a bunch of fuel into that engine and just like really kicking it into high gear. I think it's that draw, and it gets that activity going. And I'm so excited to see what we can do with that riverfront district and just making a beautiful area to walk along and have some retail space here in the future. And that is my top priority if I get the chance to continue with council. Like I said, if you want to condense my priorities as a councilman down to two things, again, it's number one, green space and trails and small business, and that just combines both of those. So I am going to do everything I can to support that.
What do you think is the biggest issue that the city is facing right now?
Well, I think the one that's affecting all of us, and again, I mean, we can circle everything back to COVID-19. It's just been really difficult to see the effects of that, not only nationwide, but I mean, just here locally in our community. I mean, everyone has been struggling with that. It's touched all aspects of our lives. We've seen a lot of our local businesses struggling, but I think leveraging those public and private partnerships that we have, we've really been able to step up and provide a lot of support frameworks for that business community and really help them get through this. And I think if you look back, there are tells that show just how resilient and strong our business community is in Soldotna. I think this just came up in our last council meeting, but if you look on the last reporting period, we actually had a 6% growth in gross sales in Soldotna. And I think that speaks very well to how strong our business community is and how resilient and diverse it is and able to get over these difficulties. These are very strong difficulties, but they're not insurmountable. We have a strong business community, and with support, I have full confidence that we'll be able to get through this and come out stronger on the other side.
You've worked on several different boards and commissions, as you were talking about before. Can you talk a little bit about those experiences and how those have prepared you for this role?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been on quite a few boards and been involved with a number of nonprofits, but I'd say my favorite one, or one that's most dear to my heart, is Silteshi. I got involved with that organization back when I was skiing in high school, and I've always been a user of those trails as far back as I can remember. Starting like probably about 5 years or so ago, I really tried to get more involved on helping run events, and I kicked off a freezer food series where I was doing weekly races in partnership with the food bank, where people could come donate food and participate in community casual races. And that was just so much fun, getting people out there. We were doing crazy things like biking up icy hills and like doing snowshoe ski biathlons, and it was just a blast. And I jumped from there to being on the Silteshi board, and it's been amazing the last 4 years with them. I'm actually about to term off this December, but it's an amazing group, and we've been able to do so much in the community to get people active and healthy and out there on the trails. And from there, I kind of found myself hopping over to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board of the City of Soldotna. That was actually my first official foray into government. And then just did little climbed steps up the ladder, and went to the Planning and Zoning Commission and eventually City Council. And like I said, I love local government. It's such a fascinating process and has such a strong ability to impact so many aspects of our lives. And it's so sad to me that so many people overlook it and just focus too much on national politics. And I've just been honored to be able to be part of this process and just do what I can in our community and use that process for its benefit. And I would love to have that opportunity to continue forward for another 3 years. And if not, I'm grateful for the time that I've had. And I feel like I can leave knowing that I made an impact.
Are there any particular perspectives or kind of points of view that you think you bring to the council that maybe other candidates or other people that you're serving with now don't have?
Sure. I would say in response to that, the number one thing is that, I think everyone is really frustrated and quite sick of the partisan divisions that we've seen just dominate the national scene and really kind of percolate down into local politics where they really have no place. It's really kind of disheartening when you see so many people fighting about national issues that have no relevance on a local level. And people often forget that one of the great things about municipal government is we're nonpartisan. There are no party assigned seats until you get to the state legislature level. We're all nonpartisan. We don't do party issues. I'm proud to say that I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. I think with my own mind, I listen to both sides and I try to find compromises. I don't let tribalism dictate my policy making decisions, and I'm really proud about that. My background is one in IT, computer network engineering and programming, so I'm just very naturally a very analytical person. I think very logically. I believe that if you gather enough data and kind of do the full analysis on it, just look at the facts. So that would be one side. And then the second side is just hearing people and just having a compassionate heart and listening. And when you factor those pieces together, you can generally come out with a decision on really any issue that I think would be a reasonable compromise. And finding that can be really difficult at times, but it's something that I've worked really hard to be able to work towards.
We're about to kind of wrap up on the time we have for this first half. Is there anything else you'd like to say, or do you have any final comments for people who are listening, Jordan?
Sure. I think I would just, again, reiterate what I just went through about the nonpartisan politics here and local government. Again, I just really want people to appreciate that we are not aligned with any political parties. We do issues that affect our everyday life, and I just don't want to lose sight of the fact that it's the people here in our community that call it home that we need to focus on when we're serving on city council, and what we can do to really focus on not only protecting but expanding the quality of life that we all get from living here. It's a really special place. I love Soldotna. It's my home. I'm looking forward to raising my family here and doing everything I can to help make it the community that is that we all love. So I'm grateful to the community for the time that I've had these last 3 years, and I'm really looking forward to getting a chance to continue that another three if I get that chance. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jordan, for being here today.